I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 2 podcast.
Hey, welcome back. Second hour is live. And Pat Dooley, a longtime friend of ours who wrote for the local paper in Gainesville for many decades and has also hosted radio shows and, of course, his podcast, joining us to give us the latest on what is happening in a very I'll let him tell us what kind of mood is permeating the Gatorland. Pat, great to have you on. So tell us all about it. What's happening down there other than the game? What's the mood of the Gator Nation?
I think there's only one toe left on the ledge right now. I think, they're really upset. They know it all, as we know, as both fans do, look, they want him to do two things, Dan Mullen to do two things. One is start Anthony Richardson and play him the whole game, and two is fire Todd Grantham before the game. And then three is start recruiting a little bit better. And, so that's all. They know what to do. And for some reason, Dan Mullen just won't listen to him.
Well, Pat, let's take that one at a time. Let's start with Todd Grantham, because he's always been on the hot seat, according to your listeners and former readers and people that we talk to. What's the deal with him? Why, if he's so unpopular among the fans, I realize it's Dan Mullen's call, and he's been with Mullen a while. What's the deal?
Well, I think Mullen last year felt like nobody played good defense. Everybody struggled defensively. COVID was to blame, blah, blah, blah. And that's why he wanted him back, and he had a chance to go elsewhere, and he didn't go, so he got him back. But Florida made a huge mistake to me in that, Charlie Strong wanted to come back here and be a co-coordinator. Tarius Robinson wanted to come here and be a co-coordinator who had been, of course, here at Florida before. And in both cases, they called they talked to Todd Grantham and didn't feel comfortable. And so that needed to be something that just happened rather than whether Todd Grantham wanted it or not. And of course, if you're a coordinator, you don't want somebody coming in and sharing it. You want to be your own guy. But I think, I think they really believe this defense would be better. And they are better. I mean, they shut out Vanderbilt, for gosh sakes. I mean, how many people can shut out Vanderbilt? of course, they played great defense against Kentucky. But, man, it feels to me like with Todd Grantham, he's going to have games where his defense is unbelievable. And he's going to have games where his defense is terrible. And to me, you add it all together and you get average. And I think that's where the Gator Nation's had enough. I think most of the people have had enough around here. And you're not going to do anything in the middle of the season. But yeah, I think after this year, it's got to be a parting of the ways. On the other hand, Dan Mullen is the most loyal coach I've ever been around. I mean, that's why Emory Jones probably will start this game Saturday, and Todd Grantham will be on there on the sideline in his big old shirt.
Okay, let's talk about the quarterback situation, which we've been talking about really since we were in Gainesville nearly 2 months ago. Break it down for us, Pat.
Well, I think JT Daniels will start. Oh, you mean the other quarterback situation. Okay. It's funny to go into this game and not really know who's going to be playing quarterback and for how many minutes for either team. But, look, I get what he's been doing, what he's been trying to do to bring Emory along. But Florida leads the nation in interceptions. That's not a good stat. That's never a good stat. And I don't mean getting interceptions. I mean giving interceptions. Emory Jones has thrown 9 interceptions. That's enough of a sample size to go, okay, let's try the other guy. There is an argument that I could make, and I have made, that, hey, at least start Emory because he's used to it. Bring in Anthony off the bench, see what he can do, and then let him have the last 4 games. Paul, you know what their schedule looks like. It's pretty soft in the back end because, for one thing, South Carolina has turned out to be terrible. Missouri's been a big disappointment. Then they got Samford and Florida State as their non-conference games. So we'll let them go ahead and have those games, and then, you know, maybe you win all 4 of them. You get to go to a bowl game. You probably win the bowl game because you probably won't be playing anybody any good at 8-4. And then all of a sudden the Gator Nation's a little energized. 9-4, we know who our quarterback is. Todd Grantham's out the door, and it brings him back. But that's not Dan Mullen's way. You know, he doesn't believe in – and he doesn't believe any of us are right sometimes.
Well, listen, he's the one making millions of dollars to be the head coach. He's the one that the pressure is on. Which brings me to the other situation you mentioned. And I don't really understand this one. Maybe I'm naive, Pat, thinking that Florida – with all the national championships and all the tradition and the locale, should be able to recruit on a similar level with Alabama and Georgia. Why has it been unable to under Dan Mullen?
Well, that's a great question. And when he was asked today about, you know, what recruiting he did and what recruiting they did, he goes, well, I'm not going to get into that. Somebody said, well, did you go recruiting? He says, I'm not going to even answer that question. Well, that doesn't sound like a yes to me. Sounds like a no.
Well, we know Kirby Smart was in New Orleans the other night watching Arch Manning. That was pretty well documented.
Yeah, well, that there's a different philosophy there, and I think that people are kind of getting fed up with them losing recruiting. It's hard to explain. I mean, look, it is the way it kind of has been here with this new system with the playoff. You get in the playoff, you keep recruiting well. You don't get in the playoff and play in a New Year's Six Bowl, that's okay, but it's not what's rocking anybody's world. The bottom line is these guys don't know about, you know, what Tim Tebow did or the national championships. These kids today, they want a lot. They want a really brand spanking new facility, and they're going to get that next year. And that's when you start really judging the ability of this coaching staff to recruit. But still, they shouldn't be as bad as they are right now, where they've got to hang on the transfer portal and they end up basically with one middle linebacker for the season, and he gets hurt in the second game, and now that's a big factor going forward. So, I don't know. I don't know if they don't like to recruit. I mean, there's a lot of people believe that Todd Grantham's not a good recruiter, and that Dan Mullen's not the best recruiter, but I'll wait a little bit in judgment until they get that facility up and can compete in that respect with the Georgias and Clemsons and Alabamas of the world.
Pat, for those who don't really know what to make out of Dan Mullen, you know, you could argue this all day long. His record speaks for itself. His New Year's Six mark is pretty spectacular, other than last year. He's run a really good program with some exception, but where does this go from here? I mean, I know what you said about the facilities, which is great, but it's also in the future. What about the future for Dan Mullen?
Well, I mean, I don't think he's in any trouble by any means. I think that, and I talk about real and perceived heat all the time. Real heat is when your AD is upset with you. Perceived heat is when the guy, you know, the fan that doesn't even go to games, gets on the message board, is mad at you. So there's a lot of perceived heat, and there's a lot of people upset, but the bottom line is, you know, I think Scott Strickland feels pretty good about him, and we knew, you know, the funny thing is, Paul, you had 100 people on your show during the summer, and every one of them said the same thing: Florida's going to take a step back this year, and now they have, and now everybody can't understand why. Well, they have, because they had some unique talent last year, and they didn't take advantage of it at the end by losing that LSU game, certainly. And this year they don't have that kind of talent. They're not fast at wide receiver. Their offensive line is better than it's been, and their running game is really good, but their quarterback play, you know how it is, if you don't have a quarterback, and I don't know that Florida has a quarterback. They may have another unicorn back there in number 15, but number 5 clearly is not a unicorn.
Pat Dooley with the latest. Let me ask you finally, Pat, this game, there's very little confidence of victory. What would Florida fans walk out of the stadium in Jacksonville or kick their TVs at home be satisfied with late Saturday afternoon?
A win is the only way. I mean, this isn't the Alabama game. The Alabama game, Gator fans were pretty happy with the showing that their team put up. And, I mean, that is the sad thing, is at the end of this season, Florida's best win may be a 2-point loss. But that's the difference. This is Georgia. It's a rivalry game. Dan Mullen really needs this. I don't see a real easy path. I think it's going to be very, very difficult for them to beat a team that's this good on defense. I will say this, Paul. Georgia really hadn't played a good offense. I think the best offense they played is Arkansas statistically, but I think the average, I added them up, the average offensive rank is 80th. In the country. Doesn't mean they're not great. They are great. There's no question about it. But this will be the best offense they played, and so maybe Florida can find a way. And it'd also be nice if Florida occasionally got a turnover instead of just giving them away. They never seem to want to get a turnover.
Pat Dooley, always great to have you on. You be well. Talk to you soon.
You too, buddy. See you later.
Pat Dooley, one of the all-time best, and maybe one of the best lines I've heard here all year long. He said the sad thing about the end of the season for the Gators is that Florida's best win will be a 2-point loss to Alabama. That was pretty amazing when you think about it. We'll take a break. More of your phone calls right after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
Phil is in Nashville. Phil, you're next up on the air. Go right ahead.
Hey, Paul, thanks for taking my call. I was sitting here earlier, heard the guy call in, asked about the next coaching thing at LSU, talking about the Mike Tomlin at Pittsburgh. I said, if that happens, you can bet Arch Manning is going to come to Vanderbilt instead of the other teams. But anyway, Paul, since he brought that up, I'd like to ask you, what do you think? What do you think about Joe Brady leaving at the end of the season, leaving Carolina and coming back to LSU as the head coach, since he was there already when he was there as offense coordinator under Coach O? You think that could possibly happen? And I'll get off the line.
Yeah, Phil, interesting question. I saw a Carolina Panther fan early this morning, and she told me that, and I joked about the Joe Brady rumor. She said, we'd be more than happy to let him go tomorrow. That's how unpopular he is in the Carolinas right now. The guy's been a disaster the last couple of weeks for the Carolina Panthers. Their offense scored 3 points yesterday against the New York Giants. I don't think you could sell Joe Brady right now after his 2 years in the NFL. Thank you for the call. Appreciate it very, very much. John is in South Carolina. Hello, John.
Hey, Paul. How's it going? Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you.
I was watching your show last week, and I heard you saying that you was going to speak with Lane Kiffin over the weekend about the LSU job. I was just wondering if you got a chance to.
I did see him a couple of times, but unfortunately, I never really got to chisel that one down. I think Lane Kiffin is in that hunt as much as anybody can be right now. He knows. His agent represents probably more coaches than anybody in the country, so he would be very aware of what is going on. But I would dare say not much has happened on that front yet.
Okay. Well, I believe he'd be the best fit for LSU. I really do. And I really like his comments when he was asked about it, too, because that kind of gives me hope that he might go to LSU.
Well, John, I believe he would go. Now, I don't know whether, I think he has to get the ask before he could go. But I don't mean this derogatory toward Ole Miss. We had a great time there, and the fans are going crazy. But I do think he would take the job. Thank you for the call. Dave is in Kentucky. You're on the air. Hello, Dave.
Hey, Paul. Question for you here real quick, and I'll let you finish and say what you think. If Kentucky wins outright, do you think LSU would go after Mark Stoops?
I think anybody should go after Mark Stoops because of what a good coach he is and what a great job he's done. And by the way, thanks for the call. We're obsessing on LSU. There are a bunch of jobs open right now. Texas Tech came open today. USC's open. I think Virginia Tech is going to come open. Miami could come open. So I'm not saying all of these jobs per se are going to contact the coaches that we have mentioned, but there will be a domino effect. There's going to be a lot of jobs opening here in the next few weeks. And once they do, there'll be a lot of movement. I'll be very surprised if Mark Stoops isn't contacted by a number of these jobs. Now, I don't know what he'll do. I've spoken to him recently. He was on our show a couple weeks ago, and I know what he has to say about Kentucky. And by the way, just think about what you would do if you were in his position or Kiffin's position or anyone's position for that matter. Jimbo Fisher, I mean, what are you going to say? Yeah, I want that job. It's my dream job while you're coaching somewhere else. You don't do that. It doesn't matter what you're doing. You just don't do that. So I never pay attention to like Dabo Swinney, his response the other day. I think Dabo Swinney is going to listen to somebody too. I really believe that. Because I think Dabo Swinney knows that Clemson has taken a big hit and it's not going to be so simple putting that back together again. I'm not saying it's over at Clemson. They still have great facilities. They still have a great fan base. They have great recruiting. But this year is a disaster. And I've rarely seen a program that has been as consistent as they are, expected to be a top two or three team, and literally fall off the face of the earth. They lost the other night to Pittsburgh. They should have lost to Syracuse. They did lose a couple of other games, and they will probably lose again. Thanks for the call. Frank next in Minnesota. Hello, Frank. Go right ahead.
Hey, Paul. How you doing today?
Frank, we're doing great.
Hey, Paul, it's a beautiful day here in the upper Midwest. I got to tell you, I agree 100% with your last comment. If you're Dabo Swinney, and for the last, 7, 8, 10 years, you've been on top of the mountain with Nick Saban, the talk of the college football world, are you going to stay and try to turn around Clemson or jump to LSU and say, hey, I could probably win 2 national championships in the next 10 years there?
Frank, it's a great question, and it goes quickly. And you don't need me to tell you that. Just ask Ed Orgeron. He was number one in the country 2 years ago. Dan Mullen. Dan Mullen has been the talk of the SEC for a couple of years. I just saw a tweet from Bruce Feldman that reads as follows. Dan Mullen has an NCAA show cause and is 2-6 in his last 8 games versus Power 5 opponents. And that includes 2 losses to a beleaguered LSU team fielding half a roster, as well as a bowl loss to OU by 35 points. Dan Mullen was playing for the SEC championship game. He was in the SEC championship game last December.
I'm with you, Paul.
Dabo, for all of his commitment, I never thought he'd leave there. But I've changed my opinion. I think he could leave there, and you know, would he be entertained by it? Yeah, I think he would be entertained. He knows LSU. He played at Alabama and coached at Alabama.
Yep. Hey, Paul, two comments. One, that overtime rule is the silliest thing I've ever seen. I must have missed that last summer. I never even heard of that rule, but it was just what a joke of a way and a gimmicky way to end a hard-fought football game is just to have a bunch of random one-off plays. Just ridiculous.
It was laughable, and I think most of us were caught off guard by it because, you know, there's a lot of NCAA rules. I was watching the Clemson North Carolina State game earlier, so I heard them talking about it. But I mentioned I was not listening to the game; I was watching it on a plane. So I just, like, your attention on a plane is not quite as good as if you're sitting in your house with a Bud Light. We'll take a break, or maybe it's better. More of your phone calls at 855-242-7285.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
And we welcome you back. It's great to have all of you here, and Greg McElroy joining us in the next hour. Let's continue with more phone calls here and talk to Sean, who is in Athens. Hello, Sean.
How you doing, Mr. Feinbaum?
We are doing well. Thank you for the call.
Well, it's a beautiful day in Athens here on a Monday during Florida Hate Week. I remember the last time Florida had three losses, and I was actually at that game back in 2017 when Chubb and Michelle ran all over Florida. We won 42-7, and we ran all the fans out of the stadium. And then Scott Strickland told Coach McElwain, "You can go with him the next day."
I do remember that a couple of years ago.
So that's the last time Florida had three losses and played a undefeated Georgia team. So I'm wondering. And I won't be there this weekend. I'll actually be at the Magic Kingdom instead. So I'll be watching the game on my phone probably. But I'm wondering if you think there's any possibility, if we get another beatdown like we saw back then, if Coach Mullen would be told, you know, see you later.
No, I don't. First of all, Dan Mullen, for all the criticism that he is getting, is still in command of this program. Jim McElwain was not. Jim McElwain was really becoming an embarrassment with some of his public comments. And, you know, Dan is quirky. I think everyone knows that. And there are issues that remain. But I think he's earned the opportunity and the right to rectify some of them. For how long? I have no idea. I think the tone and tenor of this game is going to be important, though. And I know what Dooley said a few minutes ago, that you can't have two moral victories in one season. But I do think if this game is competitive, it will help. It will help soothe some of the bad feelings right now that are permeating the air in Gatorland. But, I mean, if Florida can't produce anything offensively and the defense cracks, which is the expectation, then the mood could be a lot different. But, you know, for all of Mullen's mistakes, and he's made a number of them, I still think you have to look at yourself in the mirror as a Gator and say, what can we do or who can we get better? And right now, I think that's a tough proposition. There, you know, we're hearing it in the LSU coaching search. How many great opportunities are out there that fit your program? Yeah, there's, you know, you can go Carson Palmer and throw any name you want up there, even though I sincerely doubt Carson Palmer has one clue to what really is going on at the LSU campus. Nor do I, by the way. I'm not trying to act like I do. I'm just simply saying, you can throw any name out there. This is not a great time to be looking for a head coach. You already have two programs that are arguably better jobs than yours, and that's saying a lot when you think about the University of Florida. Will is up next. Hey, Will.
How you doing, Paul?
We're doing great, Will. Thank you for the call.
Yeah, so I'm a big Dawgs fan in Athens, Georgia, and it's been well documented. We know very well it's been 1980 since our last national championship.
Yes.
And, you know, in the Kirby era, we've had multiple years of being a legit contender. And, I mean, I really think he held us back by choosing Prom over Fields and going with Mr. Dink and Dunk for 3 years when we had such good players. Do you think that this team has something different, even though the quarterback play has still been inconsistent? Is there something different there, and what is that?
Well, I still think the offense is challenged at times, or challenging at times. I mean, it's a very good offense, but I think everything is predicated by simply having the best defense in college football. And by the way, this is not a complete defense. Everybody knows I hate to even call them deficiencies when you're giving up as little as Georgia is giving up. But, I mean, you could add one or two pieces and make this a perfect defense, but it's still good enough to shut down just about anybody. Now, does that somebody include Florida? That's the question. Florida can score points regardless of who the quarterback is.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. And where do you stand on the Prom over Fields debate from 3 years ago?
Yeah, I would love to be a revisionist here and say that Kirby Smart made the wrong decision, but I'm telling you, he did not. At the time, he made the right decision. And I thought the only time I would quibble, it was around the time of the Florida-Georgia game, and I can't remember which year it was. It would be pretty easy to chart. I thought he should have played Fields more, but that – I know what Fields became, and I think we all know what Fields was, but at the time, Jake Fromm was the better quarterback. And I give Kirby Smart the credit. He went with his gut. There are some circumstances why I don't think Fields could emerge as quickly. I mean, you can go back in history and ask this question about a lot of quarterback races. Hey, thank you for the call. Jim is up next. Hey, Jim.
Well, you know, I don't talk about it, but I saw the guy's face yesterday during the game when he was getting crushed 38-3 by the best quarterback in football ever, probably. And I got that up from a good source. Here I am. I can't talk about football, but hey, did you see that arrogant look on that guy's face when he's not wearing the baseball cap on the bench? I mean,
I did.
He just feels. I mean, the feels is up. You know, I can't say what I want to say, but yeah, good night. You said it right. Paul, you had a good show because you got guys on here telling it like it is. It's a sad time in Tuscaloosa unless something is done. And you know it, and I know it. And even Matt from San Antonio knows it.
Well, when you say sad, Jim, explain, because I think most people...
Well, I'm just saying bad, Paul.
Oh, bad time,
bad.
I'm sorry.
Replace sad for bad.
Well, I've never seen Alabama beat Tennessee by 28 points, and it felt like a loss.
It felt like they lost.
Yeah.
I know, exactly. 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 And wait till they get to the last game. Even the last game. Wait till they get to that.
Hey, Jim, yeah, I think Auburn to me is I'm probably more intrigued by the Auburn game against Ole Miss Saturday night than even the Florida-Georgia game, because Auburn has a chance to make a statement Saturday night the next 2 weeks. I mean, they could be a very formidable opponent by the time Alabama gets there, depending on how they navigate Ole Miss and then A&M.
Paul, let me help you. Please let me help you. I don't mean to run over the great Paul Feinbaum, but they are now a formidable report opponent. Now,
well,
right
Jim,
now.
You have to be patient, though, and your buddy Kubiak's telling me I need to cut this short.
All right, tell Cubes thanks and Happy New Year.
That may be the nicest thing he's ever said to Mark Kubiak. We'll take a break. Much more to come in the final 2 hours.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Great to have you here on a Monday. And as we continue to build up for SEC basketball, we have Amber Ramirez and Devontae Davis from the University of Arkansas. Amber, Devontae, thanks so much for being here. We appreciate it. Amber, let's start with you. You play for one of our favorite coaches in the SEC. Every time we come out to Fayetteville, we have a great time talking about everything but basketball, but you know that drill with Coach. How's everything going? And I know there's pretty big expectations for this season.
Yes, everything's going great. Coach Neighbors and his staff is doing a great job to get the young players and the transfers in that we have, just to get the chemistry right with the returns that we have. We're very young this year. So I think they're doing a great job. And the expectations we have this year, we're just going to try to meet them as best we can, just work hard every day.
I think we're talking to him later in the week, Amber, and he always, you know, regales me with his stories about what a great musician he was back in the day. And I say, why don't you worry about the basketball and let the musicians worry about what's going on with music. Well, let's talk to you, Devontae, because I know last year that was an amazing run for Coach Muss and the team, and you were a huge part of that as one of the younger players. What was that experience like getting to the Elite Eight?
Oh, yeah, it was fun for sure. Of course, going into the Elite Eight, having a team that we had and a coach staff that we have, but we got new pieces in this year on the staff and on the team as well, so we're looking to go even further this year.
That would be pretty cool. It's been a while since Arkansas made it to the Final Four. I know you want to get the season started, but when you end a season like that, and it really was remarkable, I guess it's hard to bottle that and push it back, because it's still – I was in Arkansas a couple weeks ago. Fans are still talking about it, as you well know.
Yeah, for sure. It was amazing. Not every team can be in the position we was in last year. So as a group, as a new group coming in, we have to meet the expectations and have that chip on our shoulder and just be ready to play every single night.
And, Amber, we've watched this Arkansas women's program come from way back and then, you know, have that run a year or two ago in the tournament and then finally start to make some noise last year. What has this journey been like? I know you've been part of it a couple of years and have been able to see it from all sides.
Yeah, the first year that I was able to play, our season got short because of COVID. And I think that team could have made a special run in the tournament. And last year, I mean, we didn't end the way we wanted to, but we made a pretty special run. It was just, that was one of the reasons why I decided to come back, is because of the way we ended. And I think this year, I think we have a chance to make some more history for the University of Arkansas.
And Amber, the expectations are pretty high. I saw one of the predictions the other day, the preseason, and you folks are up there pretty good. So I really do hope you can do that. Devontae, expectations for the men are significantly higher than they've been in a long time. How do you shut the noise out? And I know it's hard not to listen to what's being said about your program, but you have to be able to focus on practice and obviously getting ready for the season. So how can you handle that part of it?
Yeah, it's for sure. It's kind of hard going around campus, going around the state of Arkansas and not hear about the men's basketball team. And so just knowing that the run we had last year is behind us, it's history, of course, but we got more work to do as a team, as a coaching staff, and as a culture. You know, we just got to build, keep building, get the new guys meshed in, and we're going to continue to work harder than everyone that's in the SEC and everyone that's in the country.
Amber and Devontae, I know you play for the University, you both play for the University of Arkansas, but how much camaraderie is there between the men's and the women's? Obviously, you see each other probably every day or close to every day. What's it like, Amber?
It's great. We both support each other. Yesterday, a lot of the women's team was at the men's exhibition game. They come to our games to support us. So I think that when we see each other, it's always good talks about basketball, and we just all support each other the best we can.
Devontae?
Yeah, just like Amber said, we always see each other. We're in a training room, we see each other. We all have communication, and it's great, and we're a great bonding community. So just being together, seeing each other, and supporting each other is always going to be here, and that's always at the University of Arkansas.
Yeah, it is. Every time I'm out there, to both of you, Amber and Devontae, you forget. We were there for the football game, obviously, a couple weeks ago, but you forget what a truly rich basketball state that is. Devontae Davis and Amber Ramirez, thank you both. All the best this the rest of the fall and into the winter, and we hope we can visit again as the season gets going. Thanks so much for coming by.
Thank you, Paul.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you. What a pleasure to get a chance to meet both of you. And we've got a lot going on here as we continue to build up for basketball. Konzo Martin among the guests tomorrow on SEC Now and on Out of Pocket. How about Kim Mulkey, the new coach over from Baylor, among the other guests as we get ready for the college basketball season. Hey, we welcome you back. Let's check in with Logan next in North Carolina. Hello, Logan.
Hey, Paul. Happy Monday.
Thank you.
Yeah, I just want to say real quick, Georgia fans probably don't want to hear this, but I think Fromm is a better quarterback than both the guys they got right now. But I want to talk a little bit about Pete Goldman. That was kind of an embarrassment the other night. It looked like the secondary didn't know what was going on, gave up three long plays, and I heard the guy talking about it earlier. I think Saban's probably lost confidence in him. I don't see him making it past this year, regardless if we make the playoffs or not. And I just want to know what your opinion was on that.
I don't think he will either, and I don't know really what else you need to see. There is an occasional good game, but the consistency is not there, and that's what you need.
Exactly. I mean, it's gone down every year since Pruitt left. So I mean, there's too much talent. We got too many five-star recruits to be playing that poorly against a team like Tennessee. And so yeah, that's kind of my take on that. I think a lot of Alabama fans are in the same boat as I am. But I want to talk a little bit about the LSU coach, too. I just don't see Lane Kiffin leaving Ole Miss right now. I don't know why. I just can't see him jumping ship again. But you've kind of convinced me about Dabo. I didn't think he would leave, but it seems like he's had good recruiting classes. It just seems like they're not developing their players. And
The reason why I think Dabo would be open to it, I'm not predicting he'll leave, is the expectation at Clemson is not – very far behind Alabama. I mean, they're in the championship game pretty much every year, with one or two exceptions. And when you're in the Final Four and you're playing, you've won two and you've lost a couple of other ones, you're not content. And besides, they play in a league, Logan, where it's not like they have to go to Baton Rouge or College Station or the Swamp or Athens. They got to deal with Wake Forest. I know that's not a trendy thing to say about it. I mean, because Wake Forest is a good team this year. Not a great team, but they're a good team. But, you know, they don't have that many difficult games because their league is down. And South Carolina has been way down. So that's usually their non-conference game. So I mean, when you can't get it done in the ACC and you're at Clemson with the advantages that you have, it's a wake-up call.
Absolutely, and I'm just surprised. I never thought he would leave there because, I mean, he does have an easy job there with the league they play in. But I just can't figure out what's going wrong there. It just seems like everything, he's just not developing
well,
his players.
Well,
Logan,
I'll tell you what I think it is. I think for all the things that helped Dabo Swinney become the preeminent program alongside Alabama, they are now his problem. And you mentioned it a minute ago. His defense is not exactly what it was a couple of years ago, and you know, had, you know, Brent Venables was the coach everybody wanted to hire. His offense has serious issues. I don't know how they missed on an offensive line this year, but they clearly must have missed on that at a trading deadline, and it's catching up to him. It doesn't mean they can't come back. When you're at Clemson, you can always come back with great recruiting. But I'm just saying, I think he'll think about it. That's all. Will he leave? I have no idea what Dabo Swinney's thinking.